captured on the screen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. The Old Testament lesson that supports what I'm going to talk about. And I, Pastor Debbie and Pastor Jeff, when they asked me back in February if I would present the message on Father's Day, I said, certainly I'll do that. And I did as a good father would do. I called my sons and I said, I get to speak on Father's Day. What should I say? And the older son said, Dad, we're not very religious. I'm not sure what you should say. The younger son, Gabe, bless you, gave me a long list of things that I wish he, had I had a job, he would forward that to my boss. But at the very least, let those things that he said about me show up in my obituary, okay? What fine, glorious things that he said about me, and he said, you should remember those things about you being a father, being our father. And I said, thank you very much. Thanks, boys, for the words. I'll ponder them. The response that made the most sense to me, though, was the first one. Dad, you know we're not very religious. And so I've got to tell a story now, and I'll circle back around from time to time to the scripture, because like all of us, I believe scripture may have been written, in this case, by Moses many, many years ago, but it speaks to us today, okay? And the story I want to tell actually goes back before I was president of McMurray University. It goes back to sometime during my 33 years in the Air Force that I spent. Because had I not been in the Air Force, McMurray University would never have occurred. And had I not come in contact with the people that I came in contact with in the Air Force, and had they not impacted me in a way they did, I wouldn't be on this stage today. I wouldn't be in this church today. I probably wouldn't be in any church today. So I need to tell you about that. I in the late 70s, I was flying F-4s in the Air Force. It was my fourth flying assignment. And I was friends with some guys who, at their core, had something different that I didn't understand. People who fly fighters think that they're bulletproof, or at least they run around and act that way, that they're invulnerable, they're bulletproof, and they carry that sense with them. But there were four people, Pete, Fred, Dave, and Ron, who were driven by something else. And clearly I learned in later years they were Christ-centered in a way that I didn't recognize in the late 70s. But that I grew to understand as we became deeper friends with them and their families, and they were Christ-centered in a way that that just transcended all of the things that fighter pilots would do and be. In subsequent years, I taught at the Air Force Academy, and I came in contact with a number of people. Jerry and I continued to grow in our faith, but in ways that impressed us, but perhaps did not impress God in a way that I should feel good about. And I had a dear friend come up to me one day, and he stuck a finger in my chest, and he said, John, you talk a good game, but where's your commitment? Well, friends don't talk to friends that way, unless they're Christ-centered. And I am so thankful to this day that he pounded his index finger into my chest and said, where's your commitment? Because I had an opportunity to demonstrate that commitment shortly thereafter, and Jerry and I continued to grow in our faith, became members of a Methodist church out in Colorado Springs at a time in our family's life where our older son was a sophomore in high school and the younger son was in middle school. Okay? Our faith journey, step by step, inch by inch, was moving in the right direction, but it wasn't moving in a perceptible manner that would allow us to impress these commandments on our children in an effective manner. Okay, so We continued to grow in our faith. Our faith continued to grow while our sons now were graduated from high school and going off to college. Our faith continued to grow, and our sons were out of the house now. That faith journey continued through ultimately my retirement for the Air Force, and it intersected with my professional journey when Jerry and I, after retiring in 1999 from the Air Force, went to West Virginia Tech. I was an academic vice president there, lay leader in our church, our small Methodist church. I was a lay leader. And I was teaching adult Sunday school, and I was growing in my faith. I was demonstrating commitment. I was learning to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I was learning to do that as Jerry and I continued our faith journey. 3 years after we got to Virginia Tech, West Virginia Tech, I got a 4 a.m. email message saying McMurry University in Abilene, Texas, one of our United Methodist church-affiliated schools, is looking for a president. Would you be interested? Google. Where is McMurry? What is McMurry? And so we did what you would do when confronted with a challenge like that, try to understand what it was all about. And we actually made application to go out to Abilene, Texas, and serve as his president. The first interview was, my biggest concern was using the right fork with my salad and hoped I'd get the job, okay? And I must have used the right fork with the salad because they invited us back for a second interview, and I said, all right, Jerry, the onus is on you to use the right fork now. I did it the first time. You need to do it the second time, okay? And so we interview, and we're going out preparing to the interview, and I asked for all kinds of financial records and things about the curriculum, what kind of donor base they have, all the things that college presidents need to worry about. And I would read these documents, and because I was a voracious reader, I would read these documents. I would fret that there was way, way too much to read. I would pray for peace, and then I'd go to sleep. And I'd wake up 15 minutes later, and I would turn on the light again and read documents and fret that there was too much to read, not enough time. And then I would pray to God that I get peace, and then I'd fall asleep for about 15 minutes, and then wake up again. And Jerry, who bless her heart, was watching the lights come on about every 30, 45 minutes in bed, said, move your operation, your fretting, to another room. And so I carried this all outside, out into the living room, and I sat in my recliner, and doing the read, fret, pray, sleep routine over and over and over again. And it happened that night, early one morning, when God said, John, don't worry about it, I've got it. Don't worry about it, I've got it. And I didn't wake Jerry up right then, but I just turned the light out and went to bed. And I continued to read, and I continued to fret, and I continued to pray and sleep, but I knew we were headed in the right direction. Don't worry about it, John, I've got it. We went out to McMurry, a small school, 1,500 students in West Texas. It was a perfect size because you know the students. With time, you know their parents and their grandparents and their younger sisters and brothers. It was a perfect circumstance for us. I was a little bit naive when I went out there because it was a church-affiliated school. I figured, well, there's 1,500 kids living at the foot of the cross. I'd been there 1 week when the first beer in the dorm episode occurred. And I said, okay, we got 1,499 kids living at the foot of the cross and one yahoo with a six-pack. Okay. I don't know why I thought that. I guess because I was naive. I was the Pollyanna guy that said this is where it all comes together. The students we attracted at McMurry were no different than other students in this sense that they were subject to the same pressures, social pressures, that every other young person is subjected to. But how they're dealt with in that environment is altogether different. And I learned with time that if you're going to be a faculty member, if you're going to engage with students, if you're a coach, if you're a student affairs professional, you do more than just Well, talk about this turbofan engine here. Okay, you do more than just write chemical equations up on the board. You do more than just run sign out logs in the residence hall, but you worry about and you engage in the development of that individual as a whole person. You worry about their psychological, their physical, their spiritual, their intellectual development. That's a Wesleyan education, and that's just so much of what developing as a young person ought to be. And I learned that you have to be chosen to go into that line of work in that environment, because there's some people who, for whom their academic discipline is their God, if you will. But you wouldn't survive at an institution like McMurray if you didn't care about the whole development of the whole person. And so I actually made it my point to interview all prospective coaches and so all the professionals who engage with students to make sure they understood that this was an expectation that we had, and that young people will come to McMurray and they will bounce off the curbs in their faith journey, and we need to be there to kind of keep them inside the curbs, because so many of the young people who come to school come with their parents' religion, but perhaps not their own religion. They come with their mom and dad's faith, but perhaps a faith that they themselves haven't been challenged on and challenged themselves on. So it's our job to kind of reinforce that journey, be a part of reinforcing that journey, and in a sense, provide the curbs that mom and dad might have provided when they were at home. I was so engaged in character and leadership and spiritual development in the 11 years we were at McMurray that it became clear to me that young people were coming to McMurray in all stages of their faith journey. But there were some of them who had come there, and many of them had come there with their own well-developed faith inculcated through youth programs like are present here at Mandarin. Moms and dads and houses, homes, were loving the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, had been impressed upon them through their childhood. It was remarkable to watch young people go out on mission trips with understanding that they were out there to help transform lives, but to watch their own lives get transformed by that interaction. Watching young people grow in their faith because of the opportunities they had at a school like McMurray. And knowing that they were growing like that because their parents had impressed these things on them when they were at home. So it wasn't the invitation to speak today that drove this lesson home, but was thinking about how when we raised our children, how we had failed to do an adequate job of impressing these commands on our children. And I grieve for that, because we didn't do what we're commanded to do. Now, I can give you the caveat that says, well, the kids were already in high school and college when you figured this out. That's a weak excuse. Okay. But I grieve over that, because it's an opportunity we didn't take advantage of. To the fathers, to the parents, that is so critical, to love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength, to live it, to love it, and to impress it on your children. Because when that happens, your faith becomes their faith. Now, I'm thinking about what the younger son said. Dad, here's all the things that you did for us. By any secular worldly measure, we were great parents. By any secular worldly measure, they are successful kids. They, each of them banged up a car, but only once, and it was small, and nobody got hurt, okay? And save for one incident, another, none of them were ever on a police blotter. They both graduated from college in less than 4 years, okay? They both had successful careers and Air Force careers. They both appreciated the discipline, and they appreciated the core values that defined military service and the Air Force and service to their country. They both have loving and caring families. I can't say enough about who they are and how devoted they are in service to their communities and in service and in love in their families, okay? But the older one who said, "Dad, you know we're not very religious," was so on the mark. And it caused me to run back to the invitation to speak. I said, you know, there's any number of things I could say on a Father's Day message. But the one who said, "Dad, we're not very religious," hit home. And so my parting shot is, I encourage, while you can, to impress those commands on your children, to live those, to be those commands, and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, Moses, when he said this, when this was written, didn't say impress them on your... There's no statute of limitations on this. There's no statute of limitations. He didn't say, well, you do it up until they move out. You do it until you make the last tuition payment, okay? Scripture is living. It's living today. And I haven't had this conversation with my son since Friday, okay? Because the older one is, he'll celebrate his 48th birthday shortly, and the younger one is 44, so I have young kids at 44 and 48. And I wrote tuition checks a long, long time ago. But impress them on your children doesn't have a statute of limitations on it. And I take great solace, I take great strength in the fact that I have a continuing opportunity to do that and will take advantage of that opportunity. You have the opportunity here and now and tomorrow in the day-to-day interaction as a family to make that come alive. And that would be my Father's Day message. The responsibilities of a father are all of the vanilla, worldly, secular things that we take for granted, but that's an eternal responsibility. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are that perfect Father, and your perfection only drives home the shortfall that we all have. And we ask that you continue to nurture us and to shine your loving grace on us as we try to be the fathers that you've shown us to be. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.